Meeting by Elaine Feinstein. It was a cold evening last October. I'd slipped on the slithery leaves in the drive the week before and sprained my ankle. Andrew was very kind, did my shopping for me in Huntington in his lunch hour and drove out with a weekly order from the butcher. It was a bit lonely, not being able to get out of the house, but I'm used to being alone, living where we do. The girls were in London, of course, but Peter was coming home for the weekend.
Karen! Karen! Did you hear the buzzer on the meat?
Don't fuss, Andrew. I've turned the oven off.
What's all this? You've been hobbling about again. You set the table yourself.
I wanted to make it look pretty.
You should have waited till I came down. How's your ankle?
Doesn't hurt at all.
Well, you aren't supposed to do too much on it. And there was no hurry. Peter's bound to be late.
He said about six, and it's already seven.
Yes, I know. I was held up coming myself. Damn that gate. I'll get someone to fix it on Monday.
The North Sea will be rough in this wind. Peter wouldn't like that. He always got seasick.
Didn't mention it on his last visit?
But that was July. The sea was like a mill pond then.
Nice to hear you playing the piano. Wish you did it more often.
Sometimes it soothes me.
Oh, stop peering out into the darkness. You worry too much. There's nothing to fret about. He said he was driving from Harwich. You can never tell how long it takes to get the cars off the boat.
It's the rain. There'll be floods if this goes on.
Well, we may as well relax. Have a G&T?
Something warm and sweet, I think. Such a cold night.
Well, not cold in here, surely.
Well, I feel cold.
You're shivering. I hope you aren't going down with something. There's a lot of flu in the office.
I just need a wrap.
How long is he staying?
Didn't he say he was going to Cambridge tomorrow?
It's the girl Peter's bringing, isn't it? That's why you're so tense.
Not exactly.
But you are tense. I know you, Karen.
Do you?
After all these decades. Of course I do.
You always think you know best.
I know you have a perfectly natural concern, but you must be sensible. I'm concerned myself.
Are you?
Peter takes after you. Well, just as well one of us understood him. You know, I always found him difficult.
I know.
You sound as if that must have been my fault.
Nobody's fault. You had very different temperaments.
Well, I got on easily enough with the other children.
The girls were very pliant.
But they did what they wanted, don't you think? Well, it's just as well someone wanted to come into the practice.
Peter was different from what you expected, that's all.
Yes. Well, you know what I think about that. The cleverest of the lot, so why on earth...
I agree. English literature was not an enormously practical subject to pick in a recession.
Well, it isn't much of a career... teaching at a language school.
It isn't his fault there aren't any academic jobs in this country.
Oh, you weren't exactly beaming with happiness when he took this job in Berlin.
It had nothing to do with the kind of job. Surely you understand that much. After all these decades.
Oh. I'll go and let them in.
Oh, what?
Mother, how are you? Well, you look well enough, in spite of the broken ankle.
I'm fine. Don't worry about the ankle. Your father's looking after me. Now, let me look at you. Well, you're unchanged for all the months away. And this is Sophie. Come right in, both of you. You can dry out by the fire. Oh, this is a wonderful room. An English country cottage, just like something out of Dickens. Oh.
What will you have to drink, young lady? There's a very good malt, Peter.
Oh, lovely. Try it, Sophie.
All right.
Here you are.
Thank you.
It has a funny taste. Like bark?
Oh, peat from the bogs, more like.
Isn't that some kind of mud?
Well, so, how does the old country look to you, Peter? Shabby and run down after Germany?
Well, too wild and windy a night to see much. Oh, but you'd be surprised, Father. Germany's changing. There's more mess these days. Street markets. People busking on the pavement.
You make it sound rather cheerful.
You can't see anything cheerful about dirty streets.
I meant...
all the immigrants, I suppose. Well, I hope you haven't eaten on the way. We've a feast for you.
Don't worry, we're ravenous.
Good. Everything's ready. Shall we go in straight away? Well, Peter, you enjoy teaching?
Yes, I do.
You get free time to do your own things?
Not as much as I thought I would.
What things are you thinking of, Karen?
I told you in my letter, Father.
Peter's made some marvellous translations of Rilke. Have you seen his version?
It must be very difficult to translate such poetry. I've always loved Rilke.
Have to take Karen's word for all that kind of thing, I'm afraid. More wine, Peter?
Mother, I thought you'd be in here. Are you all right?
Of course.
I'm glad to have a moment alone with you. Sophie's wonderful, isn't she?
Well, she's certainly very good-looking.
Oh, I don't mean that. Mother, I'm ashamed of you. I mean, isn't she intelligent? Isn't she sensitive?
You love her, obviously.
Why else would I have brought her home?
Then what is there to say, Peter? That's all that matters.
Well, still, isn't it customary to offer a blessing or something?
Peter, she's a lovely girl. A lovely person.
No, 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 this won't do, Mother. I can tell there's a reservation there.
Only the obvious.
You mean because she's German?
Yes.
I can't believe you could be so prejudiced.
Is it prejudice?
Well, what else is it?
It frightens me, Peter. Of course I want you to be happy.
And you think marrying someone English would make that likelier? Come on, Mother. You and Father aren't exactly an advertisement.
That's hardly the point.
I think it is.
Anyway, your Father and I agree about most things.
You don't even talk about most things now, do you?
Never mind what I've done with my life. I've not been unhappy.
Look. Look, Sophie cares about the same things that I do.
You mean Rilke?
I mean poetry. Mother, I've begun writing again. And not just translations. I mean my own poems.
You told me. In your letter, I went out and bought the TLS when you said... Oh, you must be very pleased.
Well, yes. Well, that's not all. Just last week, I had wonderful news. I mean, look.
Oh, where are my glasses? I can't... Oh, Peter! You've won a prize!
It's quite a lot of money, isn't it?
How exciting! For a single poem.
And now there are two publishers wanting to do a book. I can't believe my luck.
It's what you wanted most when you were little.
If I found a university job, I'd still be editing 17th century manuscripts.
And now?
Well, now I feel I can risk anything.
Maybe you should come back to England?
No. No, not yet. I want to write about being over there.
Are you going to marry Sophie or what? Your generation doesn't seem to believe in it.
Well, Sophie moved in with me months ago, Mother. We haven't talked about marriage.
And her parents?
They seem pleased. I don't know why.
It's strange. I never thought a member of my family would go back to Germany.
All that, it's 50 years ago.
Well, yes, it is.
You know I'm not indifferent, nor is Sophie. But she's only 22. What's it got to do with her? Or me? It just isn't our quarrel, Mother, is it?
Did you tell her family about me?
Oh, some of it.
You know what I mean. Did you tell them I was Jewish?
I told them we aren't anything. Are we?
We? Your father's good old Church of England, and he likes to say that kind of thing. Did you explain how I came to England?
I told Sophie you came as a child.
Does she know that I once lived in Berlin?
I probably told her, yes. I wish you wouldn't look so miserable, Mother.
I'm trying to behave myself.
You don't have to pretend. I always know how you feel.
That used to help.
There is something else. An invitation for Christmas. Her family want you all to come and spend Christmas in Berlin.
But, Peter...
They make a big feast of Christmas in Germany.
Do you think the girls could get away?
I don't suppose I can, but will you and Father come?
I don't think I could stand around singing carols in German.
Well, that wouldn't arise. They're not religious, not remotely.
Well, let me think about it.
I love you, honestly. The whole family is very liberal.
Thank you very much. I wasn't worried about their opinion of me.
Oh, don't be stupid. I mean, because they're liberal, you can respect their views. What else? Sometimes I understand why Father treats you like a child.
Do you?
Well, I have grown up a little. I now know that there are two sides to every story.
Did Sophie teach you that? You've told Sophie all about me, haven't you?
We talk about everything. I've told her some of your difficulties.
Your poor, nutty mother. In and out of the bin. Is that it?
Don't exaggerate, Mother.
I can just imagine how she thinks of me.
She knows you're a concert pianist. She was curious.
You told her I was sick, didn't you?
I said that there were memories that troubled you.
Not memories, Peter. Mysteries.
Yes. I told her you didn't know what had happened to your parents. That it disturbed you, not knowing.
How could you be so disloyal?
Well, what was I supposed to say?
Oh, there you are.
Oh, Peter, I'm falling asleep. I was just explaining to your father we had to get up so early. Peter wanted to drive so he could show me some of the countryside in England.
In this weather, what foolishness. You should have travelled by plane, then hired a car.
Sometimes there are marvellous autumn days. Mm. Well, I'll go up too. Good night, Mother.
Good night.
Good night, Peter. Good night, Sophie. One bed, I suppose?
Yes.
I like the girl. She's open and frank.
I've hardly spoken to her. Andrew, I came close to quarrelling with Peter.
Why on earth? What's the point?
I couldn't help it.
Oh, you always say that as if someone else were in charge of your life. Surely it's possible to have some self-control. There are a few things I could have said if I hadn't kept a watch on my tongue. I suppose he said something tactless.
No, it was all my doing.
You look desolate.
I feel as if I've quarrelled with the only person in the world I can't manage without.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I didn't mean...
He's taking her to Cambridge tomorrow, straight after breakfast. Did Peter tell you about the Christmas invitation?
Yes. Oh, Andrew, I don't think I can cope with it.
I think we should go. It'll be interesting.
Interesting?
Come up to bed now.
Not yet. I'm not tired. I slept this afternoon. I'll follow you up. Of course, I was angry with myself, not Peter. It was my cowardice, of course, because I'd never been back to Germany. At first, when I wanted desperately to do so just after the war, I hadn't a penny. It wasn't an excuse then. But when it would have been easy enough financially, then I was afraid. Afraid.
We'll go, because it's only common sense.
And so, of course, we went.
It'll help you. You see. Germany is a European country like any other, really. You see that when you get there. Shall I put that bag up?
I'll keep it on my lap.
Be comfortable?
Perfectly. How long is this flight? I might have a sleep.
Then I won't let them wake you with their plastic food.
Why do you want to send me away?
You must be brave. Please, help us.
I won't go.
Pick up your case, Karen. And the violin.
I won't go. I won't.
For God's sake, be sensible. Isn't everything bad enough?
Oh,
We're landing soon.
Did you have a nice sleep?
Nice.
Welcome, welcome. Oh, the last days before Christmas are always a very ceremonial at the office. Probably in England, too.
Well, we do have a Christmas party.
Oh, and this is Karen, isn't it? Oh, we've heard so much about you.
How do you do?
What a beautiful flat.
Yes. I like the view. I don't mind being so high up. My wife prefers the countryside and everything on one level. But I think that's so boring. I'm a city man.
You have a great many books.
Right, natural, as a publisher. Ah, here's my wife.
Karen, we are so happy you could come.
You.
Now, you must admire the tree. Oh, the children have been piling up the presents so that it's something of a fire hazard. But it makes a fine show.
Good heavens, so many lights. We only bothered with the tree when the children were very small.
For us, Christmas without a tree would be unthinkable. And after all, our children are here.
Hello, Mother.
Even if they're just a bit bigger. It was wonderful of you to come. Now you must both want to wash before you eat. Just through your bedroom, there.
I'll show you.
What a palace. I wonder if the gifts we brought are really quite...
Peter said choose English gifts, so I did. Mm. Perhaps I should explain about the Stilton.
The Mannheim seemed very...
Wealthy, do you mean?
Yes, I suppose I do. Peter hadn't quite conveyed that to me.
He said Franz was an art publisher.
Yeah, exactly. Can you really make a fortune selling art books?
He has an old and very famous publishing house, Andrew. The Mannheims are a well-known family. I don't often cook myself, but today, I hope you don't mind, I made you a special North German dish.
It's my favorite.
It was delicious. I remember now, my mother used to put apple in her cabbage.
You'll enjoy Berlin. There's a lot to see.
Well, I'm a Berliner, so I agree with that. But don't be too romantic about the city, Peter. It started life as a disease-ridden bog. In some ways, it might have been better off.
It's one city now, at least.
Up to a point. The wall's gone, of course.
And West is best?
Well, no one would want to bring back the old communist thugs. But you'll find most of the best buildings in the eastern part of the city.
Well, I suppose that's natural. Less development.
What do you advise us to see while we're here?
Forget Checkpoint Charlie. Go and have a look at the walls of Babylon and the Pergamon.
These days, Berlin is just like the rest of Europe, which is not always a recommendation. But you will enjoy the city. I do. I like all the contradictions. And remember, Hitler never liked Berlin.
I remember people saying that.
If you could go and have a look at the house of Bertolt Brecht, maybe his theatre.
Oh, let them have a chance to relax and enjoy their food.
Where did you find all these paintings?
Ah, fine, aren't they? The painter comes from East Prussia. Bought his work with him. He's very talented. You admire the colours?
Very much.
Then let me give you his book. We brought it out last spring. I'll show you after dinner. Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have any with English translations.
It's all right. I can read German.
Oh, yes. I think Peter said as much. Well, shall we go through? We can have coffee next door.
We were struck by some people sleeping on the couches at the airport.
Well, they are warmer than anywhere else. What can you expect? Sometimes the police have to clean up. Is that how you say it?
It's not an idiom I like for people. Still, it must be awkward with so many immigrants.
You have to understand. The East Germans, well, at least they are German, that is something. They will work and find their feet. But the others, the asylum seekers, it's quite complicated these days.
They don't only come in from Bosnia, you see.
No. They come from all over Russia and Romania, Bulgaria. We have to have new rules.
But you do think they have to be given shelter, don't you?
I think other countries in Europe should help more.
It's true enough. England doesn't take many.
England is just throwing off a recession, Karen. There are enough people out of work already.
Politics, politics. Does any government know how to handle these things?
Where did your family come from, Karen? Peter told us they were originally from Germany.
They came from Berlin.
Really? When did you leave, then?
Before the war.
I see. Peter said that you came from a Jewish family. Such a terrible period of our history.
I try not to think about it.
Yes. So many dead. You know, our family lost all our lands in the East when the Russians came in. And such terrible stories.
We should put it all behind us. That is the meaning of the new Europe, isn't it?
I was trying my best. I could hear Peter whispering to Sophie. They were sitting close together, and I could just make out their voices.
It all seems to be going well enough.
Your mother is very quiet.
She's shy.
Shall we leave them to it?
Right, let's go.
We were sitting on the sofa when Carla brought out the photograph album.
She is beautiful, my Sophie, isn't she?
You must be very proud of her.
She's so graceful. Look, this is when she was only 6, as a fairy in the dancing school. Look, already the same person.
She was a charming little girl.
She's not as fragile as she looks, my little girl. She always did what she wanted. Really, she looks like my mother. Let me show you. There is another book.
Carla, have some pity. Don't make Karen look through everything. She's just being polite.
No, she wants to see. Don't you? Look, here's my mother when she was about 29. Isn't that a marvelous resemblance?
Yes, it is. But who is that? Your father?
Let me see. No, it is my uncle.
He's in uniform.
Of course he is. It is the war. Everyone had to join the army. Wasn't it the same in England?
Not exactly the same.
Yes, exactly the same. There wasn't a choice. My father, too. He wasn't interested in fighting, but he had to go to the front. He was lucky to get back from Russia alive.
But those are the insignia of the Waffen SS.
Now, Karen,
Karen is right. I'm sure he was responsible for terrible things. The boy is wearing Nazi uniform. It means something. It isn't just an army. I understand what you feel, even if he was only a boy. But he died himself.
Getting back from Moscow.
One of those who had to trail home in the snow.
That was afterwards they trailed home.
I have read what they did in Russia. People did these things. They hunted down, they killed, they buried alive. All human beings must be ashamed of these things.
But you know, when the Russians took over the East, they also behaved like animals. They... what is the word, Franz?
They looted and raped and murdered, like all armies. But that's not the point. You know, Carla and I, we were only 8 years old when the war was on.
I was 3. Sometimes he forgets I'm 5 years younger than he is.
Are you telling me no one in your family knew what was going on?
Karen, at 3 years old...
I'm only asking. I really want to know. Tell me about your parents, Franz. Did they support Hitler?
I don't know. My father died the year after the war.
And what did you think, Carla, as you were growing up?
Well, my mother and father talked about how bad things were for them during the war, how they missed each other. And they had land in the East. They were very bitter at first, but you know, the whole family worked hard.
I wasn't thinking of their own troubles, Carla.
Well, I saw very little of anything. There was a small camp of prisoners of war, I think. Sometimes we saw them coming down the road. They didn't look particularly ill. Oh, I know, really, they were having the most terrible time imaginable behind the wires, but only once did I see them marching through the town.
I didn't mean prisoners of war.
My parents didn't talk about anything else. Well, later, of course, we learned about the other horrors, those gas chambers.
And your parents still didn't talk about it.
Oh, you talk about such things in front of your children?
Well,
that boy, Otto, in the photograph. Karen, probably he had no work before the war. So, when there was a chance to do something, it was the only thing, the chance to work.
We know that. What happened could have happened in any country in Europe.
In a recession, you mean? Well, sometimes I believe that. And then I am very afraid.
Let me ask you something, Karen. Your parents, did they leave with you?
No, they left it too late.
I'm sorry.
I never discovered exactly what happened to them.
Are you still awake?
Yes.
Well, that was one of the most uncomfortable evenings of my life.
You think I shouldn't have said anything, don't you?
I don't see what purpose was served.
Well, you seem to take it all in your stride.
Look, the war is a long time ago. My father flew planes in the war. I imagine he helped to flatten Berlin.
You always say that, as if it's the same. But it's not.
We talked about all this before we came, didn't we?
We talk and talk. But I can't make you see how I feel. I never could.
Karen.
It's like Carla. She means so well, but really she can't believe in the brutality. France understands me better than you do.
That's unfair and unlikely.
Unfair? You wanted me to come. You insisted. What did you expect me to do? Just shut up.
You know what I think.
Of course. You think I'm sick. You've been telling me that all my life. Try another shrink, take another pill. But what if what I feel is entirely appropriate?
Karen, everyone's parents die. My mother died last year. I've tried to help. Remember when you were sick before your concerts, when you wanted me to hold your hand before you played?
The trouble is, you can't feel the way I do. Your life has been too comfortable. You don't have the imagination.
No, having an imagination is what you have. I don't want it. You've been paralyzed by it.
Yes.
I thought if you came, you'd see your son is marrying into a perfectly decent family. And that's true, isn't it?
Yes.
I thought it would help you not to go on seeing monsters.
Even when they are real monsters.
They're monsters half a century old. Dead monsters. Now try and go to sleep.
I will try. I fell asleep thinking how enviable it was, Andrew's certainty, how I wanted to be part of it, how I'd always wanted to disappear into his comfortable cheerfulness. But I dreamt instead of my Birmingham foster mother, the one who'd looked after me during the war.
Karen, it's not that we don't love music. Just my husband's very tired in the evenings. It gives him a headache when you practice, so...
But I've got the Guildhall exams in a week.
Your teacher tells us you're bound to get in.
At least she knows how much it matters to me. You don't care about music. You don't even listen to Mozart on the radio. Oh, I hate it here. I hate it.
We do the best we can, Karen. We've given you a nice home.
It doesn't feel like a home. It's too tidy.
Don't cry. Well, you're missing your parents. But, kids, do collect dust, Karen.
I woke the next morning very early. Andrew went on sleeping peacefully like a child, as if we had said nothing ugly to one another. I went and lifted the curtains and looked out. It had snowed overnight. Not heavily, but enough to whiten the street below and cover the parked cars. And the light was blue. Even through the bathroom window, where I went to draw myself a hot bath, there was the same snow light. And as I lay there in the water, I remembered. I was a child again.
I saw a room with a huge wooden table and pans on a wall, a plump kitchen maid who let me suck sweet dough from a baking spoon, and my father, especially my father, so handsome as he smiled under his brush of a moustache. And then I remembered being carried on his shoulders to look at the Christmas tree.
Oh, that's lovely.
I'm sorry, I didn't know anyone was there.
Oh, don't stop.
Oh, I'm out of practice, you know.
Peter told me you used to play professionally when he was young.
When he was very small. I'd be surprised if he actually remembers.
How could you bear to stop?
Well, you know, we went to live in Huntingdon.
That's not a reason.
There were many reasons.
The pressure?
Something like that.
Can you talk about it?
Many performers have nerves before concerts. Mine were just rather worse, I suppose. Sometimes I just couldn't go onto the stage.
Did you try to get help?
Doctors, yes. I tried beta blockers for a time.
And the therapist?
Yes, of course. He said it was because of my childhood. My lost parents.
When you say lost...
You see, I don't know what happened to them.
Who took you to England?
I traveled on my own. It was one of the Kinder transporter. Do you know about those?
No.
When the Germans wouldn't let people emigrate any longer, children were allowed to leave on their own. My parents arranged it.
They must have been very frightened to let you go.
But they guessed what might happen if I stayed. So...
You must have been very angry.
Yes. How did you know that?
I guessed.
I blamed my mother.
What was she like?
Remote. Not unfriendly, but bony. Determined. A teacher at the music Hochschule.
And your father?
He didn't want me to leave. At least I know that.
But he wanted you to be safe.
She was the sensible one. She talked him into it.
And you blamed her for saving your life?
For sending me away. I adored my father. Well, like most girls, of course.
Play some more. I love that piece.
Not now.
Oh, go on. Just the last part. The one where the tune rises so wonderfully and you suddenly feel that whatever happens, the world is a marvelously beautiful place. Just to be alive.
I know what you mean.
Oh, that's so lovely.
Do you play yourself?
Not like that. I learned as a child, but I could never play with the passion I felt. Would you like some coffee?
Lovely.
Do you want to sit here or come and talk to me in the kitchen while I grind
it? Well, come. I love the smell of coffee. It's just what I need this morning. Who's reading Heine?
I am.
You really do like poetry, then. Not just the pieces Peter translates.
Of course.
In England, not many people do these days. Nor here, I shouldn't think.
My father always read it to me. May I ask you a question? You won't mind. Were you upset by last night?
A little. Not so much because of what was said. Your father was very kind.
Peter and I, we want to put things right.
I know Peter understands me.
He understands everyone. That's why I love him. He isn't the first man I've loved, you know.
This generation... It would be too much to hope any different.
He's the first I've thought to marry.
Why tell me this?
Because it's important to me. Karen, may I call you that?
All right.
It's important we should understand one another.
But I don't really see why.
Oh, don't push me away, please. I want to help. Why have you never tried to find out what happened?
But I did try. Of course I tried.
There are records, aren't there?
Yes, the Germans were very methodical. but I could find nothing. It is as if they were just spirited away, as if they had never existed.
Why didn't you come to look for yourself?
What do you mean, look?
I would have looked. I would have searched.
At first, I had no money. And then... All right, I suppose I was afraid. You really are a very persistent girl.
Oh, don't throw away like that. I'm sorry. You see, I thought we might look now. Together.
Now? Look for what?
All the memories.
Don't you think I have enough of those?
But perhaps it would put them to rest if we looked together.
Go back and find the flat, you mean? Where we used to live?
If it's still standing. Do you have the address?
I do, but...
So, there you are.
Oh, good morning. Have some coffee.
It smells very good.
Would you like to try?
I don't know. Yes, if you like.
What are you two whispering about?
The next day, Sophie and I set out together just after lunch. Peter knew where we were going, but I didn't tell Andrew. I wasn't sure he'd approve, and I wasn't very sure it was a good idea myself. The only reason I went was because of Sophie. She was so warm and eager, and I never had a daughter like that. My own were so impatient with me. It was a brilliant blue day. There was no snow underfoot, but the puddles were frozen, and the air was sharp in my throat.
I feel like a naughty girl playing truant or something like that.
What did you tell Andrew?
I said you were showing me the shops.
Do you usually tell him everything?
Yes.
Is this the house?
I think so.
You don't sound very certain.
They all look so alike. It's the right number. We went up the stairs and our feet made no sound on the carpet. In my memory, I could hear footsteps on stone and someone calling to me.
Karen! Karen!
In my mind, I could see a child with olive skin and dark eyes coming down the stairs with a school satchel. As if I were catching a glimpse of myself in a mirror. And my heart banged wildly.
Here we are.
Yeah. Entschuldigung, bitte. I'm sorry.
You speak English?
I do. Not well, but a little. Can I help you?
I wondered. This used to be the flat where I lived long ago.
Really? We have been here a long time, my husband and I, since the 60s, and I knew the previous owners very well.
Much longer ago than that.
So?
I wondered whether...
I'm afraid I can't help you.
Yes, you could help. I want just to come in for a moment and...
Well, it's not very convenient. My cleaning lady has not come, and my husband is sick.
Oh, please. It's important. We just want to be a moment.
Well, then. But it's not exactly tidy.
Oh. Right. I think this is our old flat. These windows, yes. I used to look down there, but the trees have gone.
Well, of course, that whole side of the street went in the war.
Wasn't there a park?
Perhaps.
Wer ist das?
Eine englische Frau, die unsere Wohnung ansehen möchte.
Sag ihr, sie soll zur Rolle gehen. Und hol mir ein Heißgetränk, wie ich es dir gesagt habe.
Excuse me a moment. He wants me to make him a drink.
I suppose the furniture is different.
Yes. And there's no piano.
Are you still practicing? Come and look at the snow.
Mother said another 10 minutes.
Don't you want to come out and play?
Yes, I do. Can you play whenever you want to?
Yes, because I'm grown up.
Isn't Mother grown up?
Your mother is a very serious person.
Well, I want to grow up like you and have fun.
You look very thoughtful.
It's just a room.
We have less furniture. Everything has changed.
My husband asked me whether you have finished, please. He would like to come into the living room and watch television.
Karen? There's no point staying here.
You're disappointed.
What could I expect? To find my parents still there.
Are you looking for someone?
I think I recognize you. But it's not possible. Is your name Blumfeld?
My mother's name was Blumfeld.
Oh, you look so like her.
You know my mother, good God. When was that? She has been dead 20 years.
I suppose she would have to be quite old. But yes, I did know her. Not well. But when I lived over there as a child.
Which flat?
The one over there, 47.
Was that child? Long ago, perhaps. Well, come in. I have just made some coffee. You look pale. Where do you live now?
England.
So? I never lived anywhere else but here. Not even during the war. My mother always said I was stubborn. But before the war, I was just a child.
So you don't remember my parents?
I remember your father. Such a big, cheerful man. A real charmer, my mother used to say. Though I don't think she approved of him. She was very, how do you say, pure, my mother.
What did she disapprove of?
Wasn't he an actor at the theater?
Yes, he was.
My mother was a very strict Lutheran. She always said how sorry she was for your mother.
So you remember something of them?
Oh, so long ago. A little woman she was. Wise glasses, I think. A teacher, maybe. Let me pour you a cup of coffee. Sit down.
Thank you. Were you here through 1939?
Oh, yes. All through the war. The bombing. My mother lost everything, you know. Were you born in Berlin?
You must have been 10 or 11. My parents, they were here, as far as I know, until 1939.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
But didn't your mother ever mention what happened? She was often in our flat.
All I heard her say was, your mother was unhappy. And that your father... I don't mean to upset you, my dear, but he was a very immoral man. So much flirting he did, so much laughing.
11 years old, though. You must have known they were Jews, her parents.
Jews?
No, Sophie, don't push her. She was only a child.
Now, let me speak, Karen. Let me ask the obvious questions. First, who lived in that flat during the war?
There's no need to look so fiercely at me, young lady. My aunt lived there. She was entitled to.
And how did that come about?
Well, her husband was a very important officer, so he could always find accommodation. And these were nice flats in those days.
But didn't you wonder at all what had happened to your neighbors?
Don't persecute me with your questions, young lady. I did nothing wrong. If you want to find out more about your father, go and ask at the theater where he worked.
I don't think they let him work. Not in those last years, anyway.
Well, I'm sorry. I can't help any more. Oh, ask one of his girlfriends. Enough of those.
I don't know about any of that.
Oh, wait a moment. Perhaps... Do you know their names, these girlfriends, as you call them?
Well, I knew one, of course. Everyone knew her. Such a clever actress she used to be. She gave herself airs like a countess. I think she even called herself a countess. But these days, nobody thinks much of her. She drinks. Frida Kellermann. Well, that was her stage name. She lived round here. But you wouldn't recognize her. Her face is puffy, ugly. She's old. Well, like we are. But she lived badly. And it shows on her face.
Frida Kellermann? Wasn't she an actress in silent films?
Silent films, singing films, every kind of rubbish films. Such airs they give themselves, these people, and look at her now. She could be an old prostitute.
Well, but she would have to be in her 70s.
She interests you? Well, maybe she knows something. I can tell you where she lives. the Countess Frieda Kellermann, just above the flea market. The street market, you know, where the Turks have their stores. I saw her there myself. Anyone would tell you, you can see her. Why not?
We need to get to Maybach Ufer, over by the canal. Kreuzberg, the Turkish market. You'll like it, actually. It's quite exotic. They sell marvelous spices and vegetables. Maybe we could buy some fresh figs to take home.
Sophie, I'm not sure I want to confront my father's old mistress.
Oh, don't think of it like that.
How else shall I think of it?
Look, that woman back there was a poisonous old prude. We're going to talk to someone who was a friend of your father, so she might know something.
But Andrew will wonder what has happened to us. And your mother.
Karen, isn't this what we are supposed to be doing? Now we're on some kind of track. We can't give up, can we?
Your mother was right about you. For all you look so sweet, you're very stubborn.
It's like fairyland. Like a Middle Eastern souk.
And they have wonderful cloth here.
The whole place smells of kebabs. But it's a fresh smell somehow. Not like English hamburger stalls.
You must be getting hungry.
All these people cooks.
Some of them are gypsies, I think. I wish I'd brought a better street map. Most of these roads are unmarked. She would be very old, this woman we are coming to see. I hope she hasn't completely lost her marble.
You have a marvelous grasp of English, Sophie.
I took a special course in street slang. This is it. Look, the card. She really does call herself Countess.
There's no bell, though.
We'll knock.
She probably isn't in.
Mein Gott, so eine Pulterei.
I'm so sorry to disturb you.
What is this, the Gestapo?
Please.
But don't apologize. Not much happens these days. Maybe it's amusing. What do you want to see?
Could we come in and explain?
Why not?
What marvelous carpets.
Ah, but that is Habib. Naturally, he likes to make the place homely. I don't mind, but these days he's become an absolute tyrant. He won't let me hang up so much as a stocking. I don't mean in this room, but even at the back. He's taken down my washing line. Still, oh, and sit down. Sit down. Don't be stupid, William. I hope you don't mind, cats. Make him move. That's it. And if he comes back, give him a push.
He's a very handsome cat.
Yes, but smelly.
Why do you call him William?
Oh, my cats are called William after Shakespeare. Now, do I know either of you? Tell me if so right away. My son never writes to me. No wonder he married a stupid cow.
We aren't relatives.
I was expecting my granddaughter, and for a moment I hoped that... I don't remember fixing a date, but since my son is totally unreliable and absent-minded about everything,
what's she feeling under the chair? She's hidden a bottle.
It isn't easy to live with Habib. He has these absurd prejudices. Habib! Habib! Luckily, he's out at the moment. As if there could be anything wrong with a glass of wine. Will you take one with me?
Thank you.
They aren't the shiniest glasses in the world, but they are washed. You won't go wrong with some unspeakable disease.
I really think we should be going soon.
I was married 3 times, but I think I was only happy for 3 months in my whole life. You are very pretty, my dear. I'm sorry you aren't my grandchild.
We wanted to ask you.
I'm sorry for women these days. The athletics you have to perform. Well, that at least we were spared. In my day, men were comparatively mannerly, and they knew the difference between ladies and whores.
This is hopeless. You try. I've come to ask about my father. He was an actor once in Berlin. His name was Hans Stoller.
Oh, my God. Oh, I understand. But you must be Karin.
But do you know who I am? How?
But your eyes haven't changed. But they don't, do they? Whatever time does to the rest of us.
Did you come to our flat? I don't remember you. I would have remembered.
Oh, no. It was your photograph. Your father had a photograph of you.
Where did he?
In his wallet. Oh. And then he pinned it on the wall in my flat. Oh, not this hall, of course, but my grand flat near the Quai d'Am. 5 rooms, satin sheets. Oh, I was a star. Well, it was July 1942. I was still young.
My father was still in Berlin as late as 1942.
Oh, yes. There were still a few thousand Jews in Berlin that year. The deportations from Berlin only began in October 1941, didn't you know? And after that, well, there was only hiding.
Was that possible?
Oh, for the reckless and those who were alone. Hans was alone, and he still wanted to live. There was so much he enjoyed. Even in a room the size of a cupboard, he found things to enjoy. And sometimes he'd ask me, "Turn up that Mozart a little louder, can't you?" And I'd say, "Do you want the people above me to complain to the house management? Be sensible." He wasn't very sensible.
You hid her father?
Oh, wouldn't you have another glass of wine? It's quite a treat for me, this is it. Please. That's right. Well, the Gestapo arranged to deport the Jews district by district. They would even telephone first and say politely, "Be at home today." And most people were too frightened not to be there. But your father, he didn't wait for them to find him.
Why did he come to you?
He'd been lucky for a time. And he had such nerve. Oh, I saw him eating once at the Eden Hotel, which was strictly forbidden to Jews. Oh, he went underground just before the Gestapo came for
Why
him.
Did he come to you,
Karen?
No, I understand you, my dear. Daughters are very possessive.
No, I want to hear everything, that's all.
Well, one day, I was walking along Bayerischestrasse, and a voice said, "Frieda." And when I turned, I saw him. Oh, he looked old and sick. I could see his eyes. I recognized him by his eyes, and I knew what must be happening to him. "Don't be frightened," he said to me, and smiled. Oh, he had a wonderful smile. And I said, "What do you want me to do?" "Follow me," he said, "and I will tell you." It was broad daylight. From where I stood, I could see 2 German soldiers. I knew he must be desperate to have taken the risk.
You must have been frightened, too.
Oh, no, I was too stupid. "Well, I have no papers," he said to me, "and I'm very hungry. I'm finished unless you help me. Can you?"
You could have been shot or sent to the camps.
Oh, I was only 18, my dear. Also, I wasn't so fond of the Nazis. They'd killed a man I loved in the street in front of my eyes.
It must have been very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. So, I brought him to my flat. I had a cupboard built in the gap between 2 walls. Well, I was making a lot of money in those days. I called the structure a walk-in wardrobe, like they had in the films, and I made it as comfortable as I could. Oh, will you have another glass?
No, thank you. Please, go on with the story about my father. Was he caught?
All the time we had to worry about catchers.
Catchers?
Yes. People who worked for the Gestapo to find Jews. One day, a woman called Leah came to visit me. She was living on the floor below and had once been on the stage. She told me she often heard a man's voice in my flat. Well, why not, I said. I often entertain officers. Isn't that a duty for a German actress? And she said, but we hear the voice long after the officers have gone. You were always a tart, she said. And there was such hatred in her eyes. It was a warning. That was when I had to seal up the cupboard. I pushed a wardrobe in front of it so if people came, they wouldn't guess there was anything in the cavity of the wall. One night, there was a violent knocking. It was an officer I had never seen before. Countess, he said to me, we are sorry to trouble you. My heart was banging so that I was afraid he would hear it. Oh, please, please come in, I said, throwing the door wide. Have those vulgar people downstairs been complaining again? His eyes were very bright, and he took no notice of me. And soon his men were searching everywhere. At length, he paused before the wardrobe I had put in front of your father's hiding place and took out a revolver. Shall I shoot into this, he asked me, his eyes glinting. I stared back steadily. If you wish.
Oh, my God.
I can still hear the shot in my dreams. And then he opened the wardrobe, and I saw the hole at the other side. I couldn't know if it had penetrated the part of the wall where your father lay hidden. But inside, there were only dresses and shoes. Well, we are wrong, he said. I am sorry, Countess. If you will send us a bill. And that was that. For a time we could breathe in peace.
You make it seem as if he could almost have survived the war.
It's imaginable. Not many did. Hans did not.
So, what went wrong?
Oh, the air raids, my dear. Hans could not go to the public air shelter. He had to sit out the raids in the flat and hope all would go well. Of course, the planes were murdering the Nazis. That was good. The planes were his friends. But the bombs didn't know that. So, one day...
Frieda! Haben wir Besuch?
The wine! I must hide the wine! That's Habib.
I don't remember much she said after that. The Habib was an old man with large, sad eyes and maroon eyelids, and I had the impression they had been together for a very long time. But I didn't feel much like making conversation. I was lost in my own head, trying to decide what I thought, what I believed, what difference it made to me.
What happened to her mother?
He kept saying she didn't trust me. As if what happened were her fault. I didn't know her, my dear. She went to join her parents. Hadn't her father won the Iron Cross fighting against the Russians?
I don't know.
She thought it would protect him. Such mistakes people made.
You look shattered. Are you all right?
I feel cold.
It's a freezing night, and it's getting very late. Peter and everyone will begin to worry. Careful as you go. It's dark and slippery.
We must find a bus stop. Or a taxi.
You won't find a taxi around here. The main road should be around the corner, I think.
Did you believe her?
Some of it must be true. She knew your name.
But didn't we tell her our names?
I can't remember.
Didn't you trust her?
I did. But I don't know why.
Did you know, Sophie, in Jerusalem, there is a special avenue of trees for people like Frida. The righteous among the Gentiles. Those who saved Jews at the risk of their own lives.
Stop a minute. I wish the light was better. What's the name of this little street?
Damn, I'm afraid I'm lost.
I think we came this way before.
Did we?
Who are those men? Sophie?
I don't think they're as threatening as they look. They're just drunk. And at least they must know where we are. Well, excuse me. Wo können wir einen Bus zum Kudamm bekommen?
Guck mal hier. Eine hübsche kleine Zuckerpuppe. Hey, ich hab sie zuerst gesehen. Komm mal hier, Kleine.
Ich bin hier mit meiner Mutter.
Mutter.
Da ist sie. Das alte Mädchen. Es lohnt sich nicht.
Na okay, gehen wir lieber und verhauen ein paar Türken.
I think we should get out of here quickly. Let's move. We'll find the main road in a minute. Wasn't this the way we turned?
Who were those men? They look very shabby.
The unemployed.
Sophie, do you think she loved him, that woman?
It wasn't exactly what she was saying. Let's hurry now.
That song. I know that song.
Come on, Karen.
That song. Do you know what they're singing?
The horse vessel, I know. Something terrible must be happening back there. Karen, listen.
What is happening?
I can see flames. Oh, my God, it must be those louts.
The ones we asked the way?
Of course. Oh, there they go.
No, come back, Sophie. It's not your business to catch them.
It's not your business, Sophie. Oh, they got completely away.
Sophie, thank God. What did you think you could do if you caught up with them?
I could have told them what I felt. What they're doing to Germany with their stupid games.
They might have hurt you.
These the fire engines are here quickly. There hasn't been time for the flames to take hold.
You ran after them. Sophie.
Hold on fast. I know it wasn't very sensible. Peter would have been angry with me.
I see now. It's a funny quality, courage. I expect it's always like that. Instinctive. When people do brave things, they don't think about them.
Come on, I didn't do anything. Ah, oh, now, what a piece of luck. There's a taxi. Oh.
I don't remember much about that night. Andrew was angry I hadn't told him where I was going. He was angry with Sophie, too. I think for taking me to dangerous places. But the next morning, he let me sleep in very late. I woke up with everything like a dream in my head. Frida, Habib, and my poor father hiding in a cupboard. I slept until lunchtime. And when I woke up, I felt very strange. Sophie had gone for a walk with Peter, and I made my own breakfast coffee.
Karen, how are you feeling?
Bewildered.
I'm sorry about the fright last night. Do you want to read the papers? You'll see not much harm was done. Well, no one was seriously hurt.
Let me see.
Mom. I heard you went sleuthing.
Your Sophie did most of it.
That old girl you found sounds extraordinary.
She was certainly that. Very fine. An aristocrat. But I'm not sure how much to believe.
Weren't you terrified? Of the bombers?
Karen! I'm glad to see you up and about. What do you think of my crazy daughter? She nearly took you into the middle of a riot yesterday.
Oh, don't exaggerate.
There have been worse incidents, I know, but all the same, Karen, there I was the other evening trying to explain our country is not so bad, and then this kind of lunacy. You must believe me. We want to fight it as much as anyone in England.
I know now, at least some of you do.
Don't be angry with Sophie. I'm really grateful to her.
For playing detective? I enjoyed it.
For that, yes. But more than that. I woke up so happy for Peter that he found someone like you.
Karen, that's really important to me.
That night, there was a party. They were just ordinary people at the party. Neighbors. Some in the arts, but lawyers, doctors, businessmen too. I asked them about everything that was happening in Berlin. Andrew just watched me. I knew what he was thinking.
Shouldn't you be drinking so much wine?
I rather think I should. I'm enjoying myself.
I could see that. I don't think I've seen you so talkative in the last 20 years.
Karen, I don't want to embarrass you, but Franz heard you playing Chopin to yourself so beautifully earlier today. He wondered if you would like to... Would you?
Carla, I'm afraid that's quite out of the question. Karen never plays in front of people these days.
It's all right, Andrew.
What do you mean, all right?
You don't have to protect me. I'll make mistakes, of course, but I don't mind.
Are you sure?
If I go wrong, I'll stop.
Yes, why not?
My God, Mother, you mean you're actually going to play?
It's hardly a professional engagement. Why not? If it gives people some pleasure. Playing at Carla's party was a very small victory. But then if you live like I have, you can't expect very grand ones. The next day, I wanted to do something for Frieda, but I didn't think she would like money, so I sent her a present. A Christmas present. Not very much. A case of champagne. I hope it didn't get her into trouble with Habib. And that night, I told Andrew I wanted to move out of the village.
But you love our house.
No, Andrew, I hate it. I hate the wet leaves in the lane and all those mournful fields with damp sheep in them.
But it's different in spring, remember?
I don't care. I want to live where I can see a few shops and there are people bustling about. I want to live in a town where they have good bread, not that sliced cardboard which is all you can get where we are. I want to live alongside people who care about opera, not agriculture.
You've never said any of this before.
But I've been hiding, trying to disappear. And it can't be done. It wasn't your fault.
I see.
Because I liked having you protect me. You put a blanket round me, Andrew. It kept me snuggled up and safe.
Well, I wanted to look after you. Was that wrong?
It was wrong to keep me swaddled up so completely I couldn't be myself. So I couldn't even talk to you directly. Still less think about my own inner mess.
You blamed me often enough, I thought.
Now I blame myself more. You just made it easy for me. I could excuse myself from facing up to things.
Karen, you played well enough tonight.
Oh, don't worry. I know I didn't. I haven't any delusions. I'll never be a concert pianist now. That's one thing I haven't been admitting. But the point is, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I missed it. It doesn't matter. But I must live somewhere people care about the same things I do. I can't live and die in a field.
You might think a bit about me.
But you could live in town easily enough, couldn't you?
Let's talk about it tomorrow. This story about your father, Karen, do you altogether believe it?
I don't know. Some of it...
Well, I'd like to look into it in that case. Evidence and so on.
Oh, no, don't do that. Perhaps it was someone else's father she loved. Someone else's daughter, Karen. It doesn't make any difference now.
It'd make a great deal of difference to me.
Not to me.
I have what's left of my own life to lead now. Sophie gave me that present. And it's all that matters.
In a winter meeting by Elaine Feinstein, the part of Karen was played by Barbara Jeffert. Andrew was Neville Jason, Sophie, Elaine Claxton, and Peter, Nicholas Bolton. Franz was played by Frederick Jaeger, Carla by Ruth Posner, the neighbors by Francis Jeter, Tom Bevan, and Irene Prado, and Frida Kellerman by Mary Wimbush. Anna Abrahams was Karen as a child, and Barry J. Gordon was her father. The pianist was Mary Nash, and the play was directed by Penny Gold.